Red on Red.
This week in the podcast, we're joined by Indie Cork music director Tony Langlois ahead of the festival's seventh installment happening next week. Keelan Sherlock with brand new single Shades of You, and Elaine Malone with My Baby's Dead, playing Ireland Music Week, happening all this week in various venues around Dublin. In this particular case, they're playing on Saturday night at the Grand Social as part of the night's showcasing gigs, with a double bill of Cork Psych Rock action alongside all of the showcasing artists happening there. More information available at Ireland Music Week on social media. And for those of you that are on Twitter, make sure to check out the Ireland account, at Ireland, for exclusive insights to the running of the festival alongside festival director Angela Dorgan. This is Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast, dropping every Wednesday evening via Cork's Red FM and redextra.ie. We're also available on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you listen. I'm Mike McGrath-Bryan, and this week we're joined in studio by music programme director and managerial committee member of Indie Cork Film and Music Festival, Tony Langua, ahead of their seventh annual week-long programme.
Enchanted to be here, Mike.
And enchanting to have you here. That is happening October 6th to 13th, with loads on, from film and related workshops to gigs and music documentary screenings. And for more information, go to indiecork.com or find yourself a brochure at any pickup point in town. You had the launch there of the brochure for Indie Cork. I think it was last week.
That's right, yeah.
Heading into the festival happening next week. How did the launch go, and what has the reception been like?
It's been great. We've been on the scene now for, this is our seventh year, incredibly. It seems to have gone by in a flash, and every year the festival gets more respect, bigger audiences, and more interest for media and everywhere else. And the launch was terrific. We had about 60 odd people coming to toast us. A lot of them filmmakers, a lot of them musicians, a lot of people who are kind of part of the, I suppose you might call the media and creative crowd around the town, and all very glad to see us back.
I was chatting with Mick Hannigan for The Echo, which, by the way, goes out tomorrow. Support local media and buy a paper. And he mentions that this feels very much like a coming-of-age installment of the festival for you. There's a huge variety of things happening, coming not only from the community, but also from bigger Irish and independent distributors. There's a huge programme of film happening up and down the card from various festivals around the world, like Berlin, Cannes, Sundance, etc. So, I mean, it feels as though the festival is established, not that it hasn't been before, but it very definitely feels as though there's a confidence about the festival that hasn't necessarily been there before.
Well, we're new kids on the block as far as festivals are concerned, but we've got a lot of experience between us and a lot of good connections between us, and we're often out and about there at other people's festivals too. So people know about us, and we get... this year we're getting films straight from the back of... Toronto Film Festival. We've got the closing film in Cannes. These are all big, very highly respectable films, and we're they're coming our way, which is great to see.
It's amazing that your reputation has spread so far, and whether they are in fact coming your way. But we'll talk a little bit about Indie Cork a little bit later on. But you know, you've been an important part of Indie Cork's music programming for the last 7 years. In addition to this, and before this, you were a central part of ethnomusicology in UCC. You're an accomplished sound artist, a world-traveled musician in your own right. Maybe talk to us a little bit, I suppose, about your own musical roots and the path that led you to Indie Cork in the first place, both as a programmer and as a sound artist in your own right.
Well, it's obviously a long and tangled story, but I suppose my first interest in music was as a teenager, like everyone else. I grew up in the period when David Bowie and T-Rex were blasting out. When you were about 13, it was just fantastic pop music and very exciting stuff. And then, of course, you sort of spread it in every other direction, and you incorporate punk and you incorporate everything. Once you get bitten, you sort of suck in all the music from everywhere. And I grew I grew up in the island of Jersey, so there wasn't very much really going on there, but I was one of these sad creatures who was addicted to the shortwave radio, so I'd be listening to absolutely everything out there.
Were you a DXer?
Oh, well, I did try that, but it was a bit of a not a big thing in Jersey. We use it mostly for insulting people.
Sure, that's how we use any media, really, more so than anything else. DXing has reached its way to me secondhand just via listening to like old recordings of shortwave radio stations.
Yeah.
You'd find in the shortwave radio archive just at a time when shortwave radio brought the world to your living room or to your room before the internet, before everything else had the ability to do so. And just listening to people kind of reading out letters that they got sent from around the world.
The interesting thing about the shortwave stuff is that it sounded like it was a long way away. If you listen to, I mean, now, of course, you can pick up digital stations from anywhere in the world and it all sounds crystal clear. But when you were in the, you know, the 70s and 80s, when you heard Radio Albania, it did sound like it was only barely reaching you. And then sometimes you could pick up Arabic stations because they had strong transmitters and you just about pick up what I found out later to be Egyptian music. So you'd be picking up these things, but it would come and go and crackle, and you had this real sense of distance and adventure on the horizon. It was lovely.
So would that be the beginning of your ethnomusicology career?
I suppose it was. I suppose you come across lots of different music in your own sphere, and then you come across something which just knocks you sideways, and you think, what the hell is going on there? What is she? Not only what is she singing about, but those notes are wrong, the rhythm's wrong, what is that, how could, and it's a puzzle. And I suppose it's a puzzle that I've been trying to untangle ever since. You know, it's a curiosity.
What brings you to Cork then, while pursuing ethnomusicology as an academic interest?
Most of my work has been in North African music, and so there was that connection. And I came to Ireland originally to study it in Belfast. So I was in Belfast for about 16 odd years, something like that. And then through romantic gravity, let's say, I was drawn south about, when was that? About 2006.
Romantically drawn to the city, was it?
Yes, drawn to a particular person rather than, well, I mean, the city is there, of course. It is the oyster in which the pearl resides.
Excellent.
But this is why I'm here. And I was fortunate enough to work for a while at UCC, and there were some terrific people there. And big interest in ethnomusicology, obviously. People in Ireland love music, and they've got very curious ears about every kind of music that's going on. So it's a very vibrant place to be.
I think that's because you can hear elements of Irish music across a wide swathe of pop music. So that same ear that trains you to the various lilts and bits and pieces that you hear can be the same ear that leads you to identify or hunger for other things that you hear closer to home.
I think what's interesting about Ireland is that people never really turned their back on traditional music. And so if you're open to traditional music from one place, you're kind of curious about traditional music from other places. And a lot of other countries which became more industrialized became a bit embarrassed about folk musics, and to their detriment, really, because they lost a lot of their heritage in around Victorian times. So that didn't quite happen. And of course, as Irish music, trad music, became a kind of badge of identity, it's even more reason to hold on to it when you're trying to, establish an independent country.
Exactly. Not to mention, as the years have rolled on and different social phenomena have afflicted the country, there always seems to be a return to traditional and folk musics in Ireland to help identify a working class or a radical lexicon of song and of identifiability, whether that's Christy Moore with Ordinary Man, or Lancome and the like happening in the past 10 years.
Lancome, terrific, yeah.
Just executing folk and traditional music with the purpose it was supposed to do, as opposed to just presenting a sanitized version as well. I mean, I can only imagine that that's the joy of looking at it from an academic perspective as well. But
looking at it in an academic perspective can suck all the joy out of it, I can assure you, Mike.
Well, then that leads to the next question. So, how do you take, I suppose, all of this interest and all of this data that you've accrued over the years regarding music, etc., and transfer it to I suppose, lectures in either music appreciation or in the theory and history behind music. Talk to us a little bit about kind of just quantifying everything that's in your head.
Just in a few minutes, talk about everything. Yeah. Well, I suppose when you're interested in something academic, you're one question leads to another, basically. You like the music, you're curious about the music, but why do people use it in that way? And why does it sound happy to some people and sad to other people? So it's, I suppose you're interested in the cultures in which the music exists. And that ends up to even more questions. So like, you know, why is this music associated with women? And why is this one associated with men? Why is this one patriotic and this one rebellious? Yeah. And so it kind of leads you down into more and more questions. And it's a bottomless pit of unanswerable questions. But but if you've got the curiosity, it's you know, fascinating.
Your own curiosity with events, and I met you via various events that you would have been putting on in Cork. The wake for Captain Beefheart in 2011, I think it was.
Rest in peace.
By the time 2013 rolled around, Indie Cork Film Festival was ready for its first programme of independent film, with a particular emphasis on locally created content, Irish shorts, and an eclectic selection of international film. You were involved from the very first year regarding music programming, having had an existing relationship in cultural circles with Mick Hannigan and Una Feely, among others, on the managing committee of Indie Cork. Talk to us a little bit, I suppose, about how you came to join the crew, how you came to kind of help put together the mission statement, the cooperative model of Indie Cork, and how music in particular was factored into its identity from an early stage.
Okay, well, I mean, in a sense, you know, Mick and Una brought all the expertise about film in the first place, so if I was going to be involved in it, music was the thing that I could bring. But Indie Cork started at a period of recession, when funding for all sorts of arts was being dropped and cut, and funded organisations were heading towards much more of a mainstream diet of, you know, production for people. And we were concerned about about losing the edge of stuff, you know, the stuff with emerging artists and emerging music and things that were never going to be exactly commercial but worth exploring. And that's in a way what the area that Indie Cork is interested in, that we were all interested in, was this fringe of creativity rather than the finished glossy products that you'd see in other places. So we got together and we decided from the outset to run this as a cooperative. In fact, what we used was the model of Cork City Football Club.
Hey.
And we're set up in a very similar structure to them, where every member of the festival owns a share. So in a way, it's collectively owned and responsible to its members. And the reason we did that was because, in a way, it's a more reliable kind of funding. You're not dependent on grants in particular, and also it meant that it was more resilient to sort of pressures from funders if it comes to it. We can do absolutely anything we like because we were truly independent. So we were independent in the kind of in our approach to programming, and independent in the way that we're structured. So we walk and we talk the same way.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the role of music in the consolidation of Indie Cork as a festival presence in the city. But right now, we're going to go to a bit of an innovation that Indie Cork has brought in recent years, and that would be the Indie Cork Emerging Music Artist Award. Mm-hmm. For the last number of years, an award has gone at the end of festival season to one of the musicians performing over the course of the bill. And we have two former winners coming up right now. First, we have the 2016 winners, I believe, with Crevice, with In Heart.
Crevice are fantastic. I mean, their live gigs are so atmospheric, and the music draws you in to every whisper, every squawk of the synthesizers. They've got a lovely sensibility to what they do. And I love seeing them. The award itself is for innovation and for a sort of an independent spirit. So we're looking for something that's distinctive.
It doesn't get more independent or distinctly spirited in Irish hip hop than the 2017 winner of the Indie Cork Music Award, Speculative Fiction and Mankey, with the first EP of their creative pairing, Effigies, which got a performance from start to finish, I believe, at one of the prior incarnations of Indie Cork, and from what I can ascertain, won the award fairly handy that year.
Oh yes, yeah, and it was brilliant to bring the hip-hop community into what Indie Cork does, because we work by making partnerships with people. And I didn't even realise how lively and vibrant the scene was until we started they were invited to put on a night for us. And it was terrific. And there's a real interesting hip-hop scene, not just in Cork, but in Munster, which I think is very exciting.
It has all manner of different regional accents, from Limerick to Clare to Waterford.
Yeah, but they're serious people, you know, and they put a lot of creativity and thought into the lyrics and the performance. They're serious musicians, and it's great.
And we're going to hear a little bit from Speculative Fiction in a moment, but first, this is Crevice with In Heart here on Red on Red.
Thank you. hit on my mind like a 10-ton anvil. Should've dropped the outright havoc. Grey matter is frail and banjax, stoating a cork in the rough Atlantic. Head thumps like a thunder cracking. Fed up with the skull I'm drafting. Need to get out, should've bunk a taxi. Can't scoot off with the flux capacitor. Self-loathing puppet master, tugging our strings to his own disaster. Marionettes are left tangled. I'd be better off as a lonely dancer in a slump, even I can't understand it. Anxious panic like lungs are collapsing. I just wanna quit and chuck my angers to the wind, till the cyclone passes. The mind is a region designed to sow seeds, so you wanna stay mindful of the harvest you're reaping. Tarnishing achievements, the arsenal's depleted. Courage up and leaves you like the girl from Ipanema. From the incubator to the defibrillator, every filthy crater's on the brink of failure. You can tip the scale till it's in your favour. Are you fit to play? Is it in your nature? Will you wilt away and let the illness take you? There is no false destiny. It's just choice essentially. Yet each choice is meant to be.
From me sleeping on a bed of nettles, let the moss be made. Here's a toast with a full glass of whiskey. To those who see their glasses half empty, fuck 'em. Guess they never knew me anyway. Funny when this shit went south for me. There was in the clouds looking down on me. Fuck 'em. Least I got Joe in the clouds looking down on me. About to put that crown on me. April Fool's Day for you deja vu rappers acting tough. You fall like autumn leaves. Should've turned the new page. It's easy living for them briefcase politicians. We easy pickings. It's the politics of the spot that you live in. Not the doll. Give a fuck about the tea shot. That it's shadiness on the sunny side of the street. It's the money I believe in. Too preoccupied for happiness. Gotta pull my weight. It's a good thing I'm skinny. Got a full plate, cause this rap shit's not attractive or practical to my family. A fantasy is what they see in fairy tales and fallacies. When all is said and done, they all talked and got nothing done. When all is said and done, should've turned the new page. When all is said and done, when all is said and done. Up and I smelled the roses from me sleeping on a bed of nettles. Let the moss be made. Here's a toast with a full glass of whiskey. The doors who see their glasses half empty.
Speculative Fiction, featuring the artist formerly known as Jonan DK, with Rattlesnake, taken from Speculative Fiction and Mankey's Effigies EP, available through Bandcamp. This is Red on Red, and we are still joined in studio by Tony Langua of Indie Cork, ahead of the festival happening next week, October 6th to 13th. Film, music and independent culture celebrated in its entirety. For more information and a digital copy of the programme, be sure to check out indiecork.com or pick up a physical program at pickup points around the city. Now, before the jump, Tony, we were talking a little bit about how Indie Cork came together and its mission statement. And now seems an apt time to talk about the music program regarding Indie Cork. We've just heard two former Music Award winners just there. When you got handed the brief, so to speak, to come up with a program for music or to really kind of shape how music was going to factor into Indie Cork in the first place. Kind of talk to us a little bit about the process you went through with kind of knocking together what a program would look and sound like, you know, discussions with Nick and Una about contributing that aspect of it, and kind of what your plan was or your vision was initially for music in Indie Cork.
Well, with all these things, you know, you tend to go for things that you like. And I like things which are a little off-centre, a little interesting. Cork's got a great reputation for that kind of music, has had for decades, and that's something we wanted to show, a kind of showcase of what's going on here. So to give a platform to people who are producing music, doing interesting work, original work, but also to bring in people from roundabouts the country and beyond. Last year we had a guest performer Aki Askjarsson from Iceland, and he was remarkable. People had never seen anything like it. So we have a mix of local, national, and international things. So amongst the people that we've had, we had Woven Skull. I think even in our first year, we had Woven Skull down from Sligo, and they were terrific. And that hit exactly the kind of tone that we wanted, which was a bit rough and ready, a bit experimental, but, you know, a wide enough audience for it to be appreciated. We also work with sound artists from time to time. Cork has got a terrific reputation for sound artists, with Danny McCarthy, Mick O'Shea, you know, the whole crowd of people there, with a very very vibrant scene going on. Every second Wednesday of the month, go down to the Siopa Gananam and see what's going on there.
Zolala Club.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic place, brilliant. Run by Kat and Robert.
That's right, and it's buzzing. Absolutely buzzing.
Always is. It's always full too. Anytime I go in there, it's always packed to the rafters.
It is, and none of it is what you'd call mainstream music, and it's always got a good audience.
Not at all.
Yeah, yeah. So it's terrific. So there's a real healthy respect for that kind of thing going on here, and we wanted to showcase that, and you know, get a bit of exposure to people as much as we can. That's what the awards is about. It's because everybody who plays with us is, you know, great and interesting in their own way, but it's just to shed a bit of light on people who are bringing things out and doing something, and if we can give them any help, that's brilliant.
Over the course of the last 7 or so years, not only has the spirit of independence carried the music program for Indie Cork, but also the spirit of collaboration. Myself, I believe I was involved with the music program in 2015 and 2016 under one of my old promotion marquees, etc., before encountering an afterlife as a music journalist. But maybe talk to us a little bit, I suppose, about the process of reaching out to people and establishing those partnerships, as you've mentioned, that have been so important to it. Again, over the last couple of years, as you've mentioned, you've not only brought artists in from all over town, but you've worked with independent promoters, you've worked with artists in and of their own space and time, curating their own bills, etc. Maybe talk to us a little bit about the process of kind of heading out and identifying people that Indie Cork can collaborate with to create and bring something new to the table every year.
Well, actually, it's a lot simpler than it sounds, because our resources are very thin in reality. So we like to work with partners because they bring in not only some very talented connections, but they've also got their own audiences. So it works as a partnership. In the past, we've worked with yourself. You brought in some great rock gigs and film. We've worked with Cosmonaut, with Cormac Daly.
Shout out.
Yeah, we've had and of course the wonderful Albert and Penske Records. We've had I think 3 years he's done a night with us, and that's a great way of collaborating, because they get a little bit of exposure in a festival. They get carte blanche to do what they want that evening, and for us it's spreading the awareness of what we're up to. And what we hope is that people who come to the gigs will pick up a film program and say, oh, that's really interesting, or that people will go to the film and say, oh, look, they're putting on music after the film, let's go to see that. Because these days, it's they're all just media arts, and there's an awful overlap between them, whether it be experimental or mainstream. You know, the sound design, music design,
aesthetics,
live performance, aesthetics. We see no real barrier between them, and it's there are areas of interest. So frequently when we have musicians play, we ask them to play with film, with visuals, with people projecting film over them, or collaborating with visual artists. So there's a great overlap, and it's always a creative overlap, and that's the sort of thing we're looking for.
I was about to ask you really about your take on the complementarity of the music and film media. We'll discuss that in a little while, because we'll be going over the music programme for Indie Cork a little bit later on, sure, including Ronan Leonard's Cinecule on Monday the 7th. But also on the topic of Cinecule, which has been a recurring theme in Indie Cork in recent years, Ronan, of course, has screened not only documentaries, but music videos, promos and related pieces of film over the years with Indie Cork. And to me, that's a perfect example of the synergy between media that Indie Cork strives to put forward. Maybe talk to us a little bit about how Cinecule and Ronan Leonard in particular have kind of left their stamp on the annual programming of the music side of the festival.
Well, Ronan is not just a wonderful character. He's also on the committee of Indie Cork. So he's one of the people who gives shape to the whole project. He's Cinecule is turned into a bit of an institution now, and what it's about is putting on the best and freshest local music video and showcasing what's going on really this year. And it's interesting in all sorts of areas, in particular that the musicians tend to come and watch themselves, because they've usually only seen the video in small screens with small speakers. So they come and they see the thing, and it's a great place to meet the people involved. And for people, for the curious, you get to see videos, nearly all of them produced locally, which you've got local places in them, and local filmmakers. Mm. It's a sort of celebration of what's going on in Cork over the last year.
And it's a really strong start to a music platform that we'll go into more detail on.
And it's great fun, yeah.
In a little bit later on. But before we get to any of that, the importance of the Black Knight Festival Centre cannot be underestimated to the festival. It's going to be the centre not only of select screenings, but also of most of the live music programme happening over the course of the festival. Maybe talk to us a little bit about Indie Cork's relationship with DALI. I know it's been kind of developing for the last year or two now as well. And just kind of re-entering that space on Kerry's Lane upstairs, mm-hmm, having been in existence in so many other guises over the years, and just how, the openness of things happening in there, its status as a city central space for independent music kind of jives with the Indie Cork music programme.
Yeah, well, the DALIs, which for the purpose of our festival is named for our sponsor, the Black Knight Solutions, who back us, very generously over the last few years. The people at DALI's are terrific to work with. Hope and Steve are very generous. They open the doors to us and basically let us do what we want for a week, which is terrific. And what's very nice for us is not only to see the that venue up and running again, because it was lights out for a few years, mm-hmm, but of course it was once a cinema. And it's got all the original ceiling from a very classy cinema from years ago. So it's a brilliant venue. What we do is we use it for all sorts of purposes. We use it for talks. There's a poetry competition takes place in there. We have screenings during the day, and we have music events in the evening. So we, from lunchtime on, there's usually lots going on in the Black Knight Centre.
And it's an incredible vibe to have in that particular room upstairs. Again, not only its history as a cinema, but just as it stands as a venue now, especially the refurbishment that has taken on, the new sound system that's in there in particular. It seems to be an incredible partner for Indie Cork going forward, and in particular establishing that independent identity at the heart of the city centre.
Oh yeah, and it's a perfect size in a way, because it's not a gigantic garage. It's got a bit of character, and as you say, the sound system is terrific, the lighting is great, and everyone knows where it is, so it's a brilliant place to be. It's great to see it, doing a range of things in there as well. But Hope and Steve are great for coming up with all sorts of ideas for doing things there.
When we come back, we'll preview the music programme happening at the Black Knight Festival Centre and in other locations over the course of Indie Cork Week. But first, we're going to go to two new releases happening from Cork artists and Cork-related artists. that have just released in the past couple of weeks. We have Shukra with Notions, the first single from their debut long player. Tony, you've had occasion to see them on a couple of times, haven't you?
Shukra have been neighbours of ours where I live, so I know them quite well. They normally pat my dog as they go out of the house.
Oh, lovely.
And they've got a real sound of their own, which is very good. I mean, no one else is doing anything like that here.
Speaking of people that are doing things their own way, we have one half of Rusingano Family with God Knows in collaboration with Cork-based rapper Outsider YP with Clout 9, a very poignant single ruminating on the topic of mental health at a time when social media and other external factors play more of a role, I suppose, in the conversation regarding mental health than ever before. We'll hear from them momentarily, but first, this is Shukra with Notions here on Red on Red.
Reckless expenses, it all adds up. Multiply the fear, take away the pain. Divide the zans amongst the hurt. Can't work out this sum. Oh, what a feeling to be this numb. I'm out here, I don't go outside. Let my emotions go inside. Look at my mum's gen with a side eye. My gen was defined by Mr. Brightside. Good grief, bad credit, loneliness and amazing nights. I fight for my rights, drink away my wrongs. Therapy's long, but at least it's there. Hey doctor, what's your synopsis? Let me guess, just a little more exercise. Old jokes aside, shout out to the south side. Some still getting found on the riverside. I've been going out since Sydney Samson. I'm still in the corner watching you kiss her. But still not the girl you're taking home. For some reason, it's still not hitting home. If you catch my drift, then you get my wave. I just wanna surf without getting tracked or seen. VPN.
I live life on the internet. Lifeline burn like a cigarette. Hype chasing, that be venomous. Cloud gang fish for the hell of it. I stay real, they ain't feeling it. I stay real, they ain't feeling it. I stay real.
follow rules or break the mold. All your hating man is getting old. Don't penetrate my heart, it's all that's cold. Don't penetrate my heart, it's all that's froze. Southside, I reside. For this art of mine, my life on the line. Clout chasing, no way. Do this my own way. Live at my own pace. Paving my own way. Clout chasing, no way. Do this my own way. Live at my own pace. Paving my own way. I live life on the internet. I live life on the internet. I live life on the internet. I live life. I live. I live. I live life on the internet. 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 I live my own way. I live my own way.
All I'm trying to say is we're not like you. We got a different hue. Instant grab, not stuck in a queue. Same landscape, just a different view. Info made us mad like the like made you. Yeah, we slack off like we got the knack off. You build the world that we got at our fingertips. Why stuck the chips when we know what's in them? It's been in our denim, the venom. Looking for peace in the hell we dwell in. Some take L's between E's like Ellen. Some take degrees, still not excelling. Look at my pops, gen with a side eye. My gen was divided by Mr. Brightside. Go on, let me paint the world so I paint to myself. Colorful hair, don't care. What's in my ears? What's in my nose? All these piercings the world keeps stabbing. I'm actually numb to it. Look what they've done to us. Then put the blame on us. Fentanyl, Adderall. I don't know anymore. Why do I feel like I'm not me without the alcohol?
I live life on the internet. 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 I live my own way. I live my own way.
Outsider YP and God Knows with Clout 9, available now across all streaming services and a video on YouTube. This is Red on Red, still joined in studio by Indie Cork music maestro Tony Langua. And right about now, we're going to check out the Black Knight Festival Centre programme, which hosts a majority of live music and related screenings happening between October 7th and 13th as part of Indie Cork Festival. For more information and to check out the programme from which we are pulling all of this information, head to indiecork.com or take a physical programme out wherever you find it in the city centre. And things kick off on Monday, October the 7th. We've discussed Cinecule a little bit before the jump. That's kicking off at 8 p.m. at the Bridge Bar on Bridge Street. And, you know, really that whole area of town between the Brew on one end and the Corner House and the Shanae on the other. It's really kind of an underrated gem when it comes to culture in the city centre. And the Bridge has kind of played host to one or two of Ronan's activities over the last couple of months there. Smaller spaces like the Bridge or like the Roundy closer to town, etc., have really been important to putting on more eclectic events for festival buildings over the years, haven't they?
I think so. And it sort of makes it the environment and the environment more diverse as well, you know, because there are big places, small places, little nooks and crannies. They're all very important. And I guess as we see the city develop in the next few years, we've got that new bridge coming that's come over from the other side of the river, going to get up to McCurtain Street. These things may be becoming more joined up as the city develops over the next few years. It'll be interesting to see.
But that's happening on the Monday. And it's about an hour or so worth of music videos and short music documentaries curated, hosted and presented by Ronan Leonard. That's kickoff at 8 o'clock. Admission is free on Monday, October 7th. Tuesday, October the 8th at the Black Knight Festival Centre in Daly. 8 o'clock sees one of the most unlikely comebacks to happen in Cork music in recent years. The 10th anniversary of mockumentary masterpiece Steamin' and Dreamin', the Grandmaster Cash story, sees some of the filmmakers and documentary subjects behind the film as part of a screening for its 10th anniversary. It's first time on the big screen since its release in 2009. And, you know, It's one of those things where I believe Robert Cashman is threatening to make an appearance at the Black Knight Festival Centre. We know that Dr. Fekenstein, the blood rival of Grandmaster Cash's, as documented throughout the show, has been signed on for a video message, etc. Talk to us a little bit about what anyone can hope to expect from the Tuesday night's proceedings.
Well, it's going to be an event to be at. There's obviously, we're going to be showing the film again, yep. the mockumentary about Grandmaster Cash, which has become really a local cult classic. And the interesting thing is it's going to be shown almost to the day in the very venue that it was last shown in.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a kind of a big cycle closing there.
But do you think we'll have people from Rochestown and Carrigaline coming?
Might happen. It might happen.
Ooh.
The Carrigaline posse. They're still sore after all these years.
Is it a matter of the kind of room is divided in two, so to speak?
Well, we might have to bring in extra security for that kind of thing.
Now, you've been involved in the organisation as well. Mm-hmm. Has Robert Cashman been a collaborative partner in putting this together? Have you had much collaboration with him, etc.? Because I understand that the documentary's creators and the filmmakers involved will be having a Q&A, but regarding the subject of the documentary himself?
I can't promise there'll be a personal appearance, but there are many rumours that there may well be during the event. There's going to be what I can tell you about, though, is that it's going to be accompanied by a short film made by Sean O'Connor, the director of the original
Excellent.
film, which will be a kind of update on what happened to Grandmaster Cash.
I see.
And so it'll be a kind of revisitation of the scene of the crime. And then after the Q&As with members of the cast and the director, we're going to be entertained by Cork's very own Stevie G.
The man himself, Friday nights on Red FM, 7 to 10 p.m. with the Old School Party. All manner of Cork hip-hop chaos at Dally on the Tuesday night. Tickets a tenner in the door. Also at Dally, Wednesday, October the 9th, is a rather interesting one regarding the relationship between Cork and a legendary rock and roll album, the Beatlebums. A local supergroup comprised of Cork musicians, will take on from start to finish the Beatles' White Album. And if ever there was a mixed bag of pop new, of the very earliest alternative rock advances, of social commentary, and of all of the things that lie in between regarding the crossovers between the pop rock of the time and psychedelia, the White Album is certainly the Venn diagram that everything kind of seems to fall into awkwardly. Talk to us a little bit about how that comes together.
The album is obviously, it's more than a classic. It's like a cultural institution now. Then there's always a few tracks on it that everybody hates, and there's a few that they absolutely love. And it's a weird collection of songs and pieces of music at a time when the Beatles were barely talking to one another, let alone the rest of the world. So it's a peculiar record full of odd angles and odd tunes. And the remarkable thing is that it's now 51 years old, and you never hear the whole thing played all in one row. So the Beatlebums are a group of local musicians, many of them known from all their other collaborations and different bands, and they're going to be playing it as an event. This isn't a kind of a tribute band dressed up as the Beatles or pretending to be the Beatles. This is about the music. They did this once a few months ago at Corlins, and it was a huge success. And I can see this being quite an event. I mean, it'll be because really, this is for anyone who likes music of any generation, there's something there to be really, excited about.
That's happening Wednesday, October 9th at Dally. Kickoff is at 7:30 p.m. Door tax is €8. The following night then moves the action to the rather more intimate confines of the Shandon Guest House on Chapel Street, just off of Shandon Street in Cork City, where a live performance and response to the legacy of Ultrarock forefather Scott Walker happens. Yourself, Danny McCarthy, Max Lacaine, and a number of other sound artists are gathering at the guest house to really pay worship and tribute to the latter day legacy of Scott Walker and his amblings away from the rock mainstream.
Well, if anyone isn't aware of Scott Walker, He was a huge sort of boy band pin-up in the 1960s with glowing blonde locks, who, when he went solo, produced some of the most amazing, some might argue very self-indulgent, but very, very beautiful records, just named Scott 1, Scott 2, Scott 3. Very poetic, very earnest, and beautifully arranged music. Absolutely lovely. And then he went by various detours into all sorts of areas that possibly he shouldn't have been in. Country and Western, stage songs, there's a whole album of Jacques Brel songs. He went everywhere that he could go.
Well, if Westlife can cover Brel, then...
Exactly. But he came back he died this year, and we wanted to do something this year to mark his passing. But in the last 20 years, his music has become more angular, more strange, really sometimes very frightening, with very dark themes and strange collaborations with bands like Sun O, and very stark music. So but he's a brave artist who stuck to his guns. And whether you like his early stuff or you like his later stuff, or you're open to both, he was a very important person who really influenced so many other musicians over his lifetime. Incredible influence he had. So what we're doing is marking his passing, but we're marking it not just by playing his records. We have a number of sound artists and performers who are going to respond to his work. So sometimes some of them might be reworking words of his songs. Others might be using clips of his backing tracks and remixing them. There'll be some songs. Some of them will be in the versions of his early songs sung in the style of his later songs, and so on. So a lot of liberties will be taken with the works of Scott Walker, but it'll be quite a remarkable evening. I'm really excited about it.
So that's happening at the Shandon Guesthouse on Chapel Street, just off of Shandon Street, on Thursday, October the 10th. Kickoff at 7 p.m. and door tax is €6. The last of the music programme in earnest happens on the Friday night, October the 11th, back at the Black Knight Solutions Festival Centre at Daly, where a double bill of DIY Irish independent music is happening, and it's a really, really special lineup. Kicking off the billing will be a Cork excursion from Sligo's foremost pop star and his Cork-based collaborators in Miles Manley, and his Some Songs LP from a number of years ago was just a tremendous look into this. A genius that is really just idiosyncratic in and of itself. His accent, his songwriting, his tendencies are all 110% his own. And it's a kind of genius that, you know, really doesn't benefit from people attempting to label it and shoehorn it into anything else. I mean, you've encountered his stuff in the past, don't you?
Yes. I mean, some people might call his oeuvre a little quirky, but it's not that. He's just got a little world of his own, really, which makes perfect sense when you're within it. And there's some interesting rhythms, but none of it strays too far away from, you know, melodic pop music at the same time. It's very accessible, but also a bit odd, and it's oddly beautiful. So he's a terrific musician, and the band are great.
Including
Sol of Kelly, probably. Let's say probably the one of the best drummers in Cork. He's a terrific drummer.
Headlining that particular billing also is the final Lee Side excursion of Mayo Punk's Shit Hot. And, you know, they've been a favourite of a lot of punks and psychedelic rockers and post-punks, respectively, over the course of the last couple of years. And, you know, at a time when there's a lot of post-punk pretenders lining themselves up with nice kind of management deals, etc., and getting a lot of exposure in mainstream publications, it seems to be a bit of a shame that one of the island's forthright and authentic examples of post-punk and where punk should possibly be progressing is calling it a day.
Yeah, it's a surprise, and so we're lucky to get them. They actually contacted me to see if we'd be interested in them playing about 2 years ago, but the timing just never worked out. To be fair, they aren't headlining. It's a double header. It really is a double header because they're both excellent but very different. The only reason that Shit Hot are coming on later is they're considerably noisier, and they're
yes.
And it's nice to go out with a bang, but they are terrific. I mean, I like all their records, but see them live, they're quite something to behold. Really full of energy and very raw sound. It's great.
It'll be your very last chance to catch them in a venue, Leaside, until a possible reunion tour when they're being cited as an influence 20 years later by all these younger bands. Yeah. Happening on Friday, October the 11th at the Black Knight Festival Centre at Dali. Kickoff at 7 p.m. I assume all of these gigs are happening like on normal time, kicking off early enough and not happening at Cork time.
Well, the doors open, I guess, half an hour before we play, but they'll be on time.
And the door tax for the Friday, October 11th gig is €8. For more information on the individual gigs themselves, head along to indiecork.com or pick up a physical brochure at any of the pickup points around the city. We're going to go to two tunes now from that particular line out as well. We were talking a little bit about Grandmaster Cash, and we have possibly one of the magnum opus from the first Steamin' and Dreamin' film, the video for which you'll see actually as part of the film, as it was filmed as a seg for it. Grandmaster in the Future, an explorative piece of turn of the millennium hip hop, which posits an imaginary future wherein Grandmaster Cash has implanted himself in the future and begins a series of sexual conquests with the robot population of the future. Do you care to comment on this as a part of the Indie Cork program for 2019?
Well, it's a vision of the future. We'll just let it see.
It certainly does play into the likelihoods of what would happen if Grandmaster Cash was ever placed in the future.
Yeah, God forbid.
We also have Miles Manley with Pay Me What I'm Worth. A single from a couple of years ago, which was accompanied with a particularly innovative video, which saw him towing the line between 9-to-5 worker and Premier League soccer star.
He's a star.
He is a star.
He tells me he's a star.
You can only believe it if you see it, you know?
Exactly.
And we're going to hear from Miles Manley in a little bit, but first of all, in words that I thought I'd never hear on this particular podcast, it's Grandmaster Cash with Grandmaster in the Future here on Red on Red.
Close your eyes as we travel into the future, to a place full of robots. In the future there'll be no peeps on the streets, just a load of robots making loads of bleeps. Running around with their shiny metal asses, too busy to be battled with races or classes. Grandmaster will be there all up in their face, trying to build a new human race. I don't really care about suckers or switches, all I wanna do is fuck robot bitches and get them up the pole with me human seeds, so they can squirt out babies like a factory. So I paint myself up all silver and shit, so that I'll fade in and get a robot bitch.
In the future, it probably won't suit you. Fucking sexy robots, as long as I am on top.
With a magnet in my cock, I can't resist this shit. And you don't need a condom when you fuck a robot slip. Soon enough, one comes my way with the look in her eyes that says she wants to get laid. So I go to a hotel and book into a room and take her upstairs to invade a metal womb. Lay her down in the bed and start poking away, trying to avoid a robot lady spray. She's moaning and groaning and she quivers and twitches. The best thing about fucking robot bitches, they always start beeping like a mating call when they back a shit up on Grandmaster's balls. Fucking robots in the future, buddy. Yes.
Grandmaster in the future, it probably won't suit ya. Fucking sexy robots, as long as I am on top.
Doing her from behind like a robot mongrel, cause if she went on top she snapped my dick like a pencil. Slapping her ass like a jockey on a horse, she's climaxing while she screams herself hoarse. And while I bust my nut I grab a robot feet. My job is over, download complete. Grandmaster Cash, a young man in his prime, fucking robot bitches, 39 and 9. Future doesn't look too bad, babe. serious. Robot bills are mad for the cock. Same as normal bills, really, I suppose. Yes.
Manly with Pay Me What I'm Worth, playing Friday, October the 11th at the Black Knight Festival Centre for Indie Cork Festival at Dally on Kerry's Lane. Playing with Shit Hot, who we'll hear from in a little while. Door tax is €8 on the night. This is Red on Red, joined in studio by Indie Cork Festival Musical Director Tony Langua. And Tony, before we wrap it up for this installment of the show, the floor is yours. Any plugs, any shout-outs, any shopping lists or curses that you wish to publicly inflict on people?
I would just invite anyone to come and see what we've got. We're very proud of the programme. We've got all sorts of stuff there. We are starting and finishing films, are great Irish films. We've got Cork films. We've got every kind of thing. I would just go and see the rich stuff that we've got, and I think everyone would be impressed.
For an in-depth look at the Indie Cork Festival programme in particular, make sure to check out The Echo tomorrow morning, I believe, in the downtown section, where you'll have a two-page chat with Mick Hannigan, a detailed run-through of the music programme to accompany you alongside listening to this, and a rundown of the Creative Cork screening programmes. All in your local media. Support local arts journalism and hashtag buy a paper. Indie Cork Film and Music Festival happening at venues around Cork City, including Dally, the Gate Cinema, and a whole bunch of others, from Sunday, October 6th to Sunday, October 13th. For more information, tickets, and a downloadable digital programme, head to indiecork.com. And as Tony has stated there, the physical programme is available from dozens of pickup points
around
the city centre.
It's all over the place. It's a beautiful purple thing with bug eyes.
You certainly can. I'm after picking up my copy already. I was able to find some in areas in the city centre, places like the Key Co-op, many of the gig venues, cafes, etc.
Bradley's have loads.
Bradley's in particular have loads. Always a great place for stocking physical media, I find, as well.
Absolutely.
Over the course of my adventures
with stocked at Bradley's.
One should always get stocked. If they're supporting independent music in Cork, one should stock themselves up as much as they can at Bradley's on North Main Street, where you can find lots of the Indie Cork programme. But that's about all from this week's episode of Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast from Red FM and redextra.ie. Thank you very much to Tony Langua for joining us this episode.
Very welcome.
And thank you very much for listening. If you like what you're hearing, please take the time to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, as well as wherever else you listen to podcasts. Please share this on your social media and make sure to check out the artists featured online or at an upcoming gig. And if you'd like more Irish tunes, please be sure to listen in to Green on Red on Sunday nights with Alan O'Donovan for the best of all that is Irish on Cork's Red FM 104 to 106. You're leaving us with Shit Hot, with a single of theirs, Puma. And, you know, there's not a whole bunch that we can say about Shit Hot that we haven't already kind of covered. There's not a whole bunch more that perhaps history won't be able to say for people when all is said and done. But maybe talk to us a little bit about the track.
Oh, it's just, I don't know what it's about at all. It's just wonderful. Just come and see them. They're great.
You're about to get an earful right now. This is Shit Hot with Puma. This has been Red on Red, and we'll talk to you next week.
On Red.
Exactly. Jesus, hang on, let me... Excuse me. Jesus. Let me start that again.
The captain.
Exactly.
The captain speaks.
That's his spirit moving through me.